I guess we've heard the saying or the phrase, that's not your battle to fight, or decide which battles you're going to fight. Very wise. And whether you're in leadership, church, out of in the community, in work situations, really, really right and proper. Or if you're a parent or a sibling, we all need to choose our battles. Some things just aren't worth the effort, whether it's emotional effort or physical effort, whatever it is. Put your things into the things that matter. In Ephesians 6, and we had that amazing reading of the armour of God just before, we have Paul, as it was very clear, in prison. We mentioned that right at the very beginning. And he was most likely being guarded by a Roman soldier. He was in chains. And there's no doubt in my mind that he was... what he wrote in this particular chapter of chapter 6, that God being there in his uniform, with his shield, with his spear, with all the stuff that he had, greatly influenced what he actually wrote. And guys, I think it is so apposite, what this particular reading for where we are today. And it could be apposite for every week, to be honest, but specifically what's been happening this week. More about that in a moment or two. So behind the very visual description of the pieces of armour that a Roman soldier wore was, according to, in Paul's view too, a very big cosmic spiritual vision. And you heard that in verse 12 of that reading. So I'll just read it to you again. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, I don't pretend at all to understand exactly what that verse means. It's a very difficult verse. However, I really think it's important that we try to grasp a little of this as we move forward and as we try to understand what's happening in our world today and what happens as a church like St. James begins to grow, begins to flourish and begins to move forward. There will be good things happening, but equally what is being said in this chapter, in this particular verse that I've just read out to you, is that there will be powers and principalities of which are said and we don't fully understand, which will want to prevent us from moving forward and will want to stop us. Now, please don't fall asleep at this point, so I'll be watching you, even though I have to take my glasses. Christianity was born out of Judaism. We all know that. It came out of that that faith that had been around for centuries before that. Paul was a theologian. If you've ever tried to read various books in the New Testament that he wrote, particularly Romans, you'll think your brain is exploding because they're quite difficult to follow his argument. But he was steeped in Jewish scriptures. And so for Paul, Judaism taught that evil came, as we all know, from the sin of Adam and Eve. And present in that particular story, we know, we've heard it many times, it's a story, it's a kind of myth, but nevertheless has relevance, has power, despite it being that myth. But in that story, there is this being, devil, serpent, Satan, whatever we want to call it. And according to tradition, the tradition of the Jewish tradition was a fallen angel. That's the tradition, the Judaism tradition. Now, interestingly, in the Old Testament, that being is only mentioned twice. Now, that really surprised me when I was looking at this, because actually what you notice in the New Testament, as Christianity began to blossom, began to emerge, we hear those early Christians talking much more freely and openly about the devil, about demons. We see Jesus casting out demons. Whatever we understand by demons, whether they were people who had very severe mental health problems, we don't know. The knowledge around in those days is so different from what it is today, obviously. But there was a reality. Evil was a reality. And I think that's what Paul is saying and what I'm saying this morning. Just as there's great good in the world, so there is evil. And there will be things that will want to stop us. However, one of the things that we know and what we've experienced and what we know from the pages of the New Testament is that that power of evil was put to bed with Jesus on the cross. That's what the gospel is all about, that Jesus put that to bed. Doesn't mean that evil doesn't exist anymore. It does. We know that. You probably know that, for those of you who are students of history, the Second World War. We know that the war ended in Europe on VE Day. We celebrated that recently, whichever anniversary it was, I can never quite remember. But of course, the actual war didn't finish until many months later, when the surrender treaty was signed with Japan on VJ Day. Now, in between that, those 2 days, there were still thousands and thousands of casualties. There were still people suffering. So I think what we're saying here is that, or maybe what I'm trying to underline here, is that there is goodness in the world, but there's also evil, and how that evil manifests itself is something that Paul was really quite concerned about. We've noticed that evil in the last few days as Putin has invaded Ukraine. Now, of course, I'm not being naive to think there are two parties at play here. There are two nations. And we can't all just say that Ukraine, you know, are the good people here. There'll be things happening there which we don't know about. However, what we do know is that here is a sovereign country invading another. And that is not right. And we know that. And we absolutely stand, I know, firm with those in NATO in saying that. But what I've noticed too, it's so difficult, isn't it, when we're not in control. Nobody's in control of this. This is one of the big things that I'm noticing. And what happens when we're not in control is fear and anxiety. And we know that in our own lives, when things happen to us, when we don't know what's going to happen to us in the next day or the following day, we can be held by that fear and anxiety. So what's our response to all of this? I don't know if any of you have seen the film Risen. I watched it again, I think it was on last week. It's a Film 4 film. It's a film about the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, interestingly. And I was reminded, as I was watching this film, of when a Roman legion defended itself. If Heather can put the picture up on the screen, this happens. And there was actually a picture of that actually happening on the film. Do you see what's happening there? You've got the shields above and the shields there, and as they defended, as they moved forward, they were protected. There was a togetherness in that there, in the way that they fought and defended each other. So as a unit, they were together. Paul, in our Ephesians 6, was really emphatic. He said, when all this stuff is around you, when these powers and principalities, whatever they are, whatever they look like, are kind of attacking, when they're stopping the moving forward of the Christian gospel, he said, stand firm, stand your ground, don't panic. And it does seem so opposite at this time, when pressures are on us here locally, and the pressures too are on our world. So two things I'd like us to just sort of think about as we leave today. The first is, know your weapons in the spiritual world. Heather, the second picture, if you would. Now, these are the weapons that Paul talked about: the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, sandals of readiness for peace, belt of truth, and the sword of the Spirit. And the one that isn't on there is pray, and is prayer. I just want to focus on two of those, because we won't hold everything in and I haven't got time to do all of them. Just want to focus on the shoes of peace and prayer. Jesus once said, you'll remember this in the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers. None of us, I don't think, unless you've got some secrets that I don't know, are negotiators on the international stage. Don't think so. I think Paul's probably the nearest on the local stage in terms of being a counsellor, but in terms of the international stage, I don't think any of us have there. But in locally and in our community, in our homes, one of the things that Paul is really encouraging us to do is to bring peace. Is to bring peace, to wear those shoes of peace that he says. So we all can be arbiters, we can all be peacemakers, we can all be listeners and bringing warring people together, bringing those families, those things that are actually happening. Now, I don't think it's any surprise that stuff is actually happening around us here in this church as we grow. No surprise at all that, Heather, do you mind me mentioning about Estelle? That Estelle sadly has got COVID. So even though she did that lovely chat last week, she's now got COVID. Now, I'm not saying that I don't see devils under the bed or anything like that, but I think what my sense is, as a church grows and wants to move forward, so there will be opposition. There will be opposition, both physical opposition, people who will not like what's actually happening, but there'll also be spiritual opposition. And I think it's just worth us noting that. Not to be worried about it, but just to notice it and note it. That's why Paul stuck this stuff up here about these pieces of the armour, so that we are able to resist. And the other thing to note from this armour, it's not on the armour, is the prayer bit here. The other crucial weapon that we have. And that is something we can be in control of. At this moment, we don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. I'm praying, Lord, bring peace. Of course we're doing that. But how else do we pray? And you know, I mentioned a few months ago that verse from Romans 8. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us through wordless groans or sighs too deep for words. So maybe that's something for us, really, as we're praying for the world situation, as we're praying for the growth of this church here with the opposition that will occur, is just to pray, and sometimes often just in silence, just letting it happen, just being quiet before God, so that the kind of inner desire comes out. You don't need to have articulate words. It's just God will know those desires that are in us. Final thing I want to say is how important the community of faith is. We're not alone. Go back to that picture, that first picture that Heather showed us then. We're together. As stuff happens, we're together. We're not alone. And I think that's one of the things that I've noticed about this community of faith here. That as stuff happens to people, people gather round. People put their arms round them. We are gathered up. And as stuff happens as the future, as we grow, we will be joining together in different ways. So in conclusion, stand firm. Remember we're in a battle, not just a physical battle, but a spiritual battle. Use the weapons that we have in the physical and the spiritual world. Be peacemakers, gain support from each other, and pray. Let's pray together. Gracious God, you bring life to people, you bring life to churches, you bring life to communities. We thank you for the life and the signs of growth that we see here in this church. But we're also aware that with growth, problems arise. And we pray that you will enable us to be able to take up those weapons of faith, to bring peace where there is no peace, to pray, and to pray earnestly for situations and for people, and to stand together firmly as we move forward. So enable us, we pray, to do this for Jesus' sake. Amen.